We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
You're impeached forever. You're never getting rid of that.
Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
It was shameless, and it was also unlawful.
We're going to fight to the death. We're going to get them.
Most Americans agree on a pathway to citizenship.
I think Mitt Romney showed a great deal of courage.
It was all bullshit.
Yeah, well, the president calling it the way he sees it there yesterday at that pretty wide-ranging news conference. I didn't get to see it live. I went back and watched it, though. Fox had a link to it, and I watched the whole thing. It was amazing to watch. It really was.
He came out swinging.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, even at that prayer breakfast.
Yeah, all day yesterday.
He even said in his news conference, he goes, listen, Nancy Pelosi was sitting four seats away from me this morning at the prayer breakfast. I said some things some other people might not have, but I'm done. The way they've treated this administration over the past 3 years and what we've gotten accomplished in spite of that is amazing, and I'm going to quit acting like I'm okay with it. That was basically his attitude yesterday.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fantastic, personally. I mean, maybe he could have skipped the word BS,
yeah.
but the reaction from the media is just overblown to the whole thing.
Always.
And we're going to talk more about that this morning. We'll talk more about the results of the caucuses in Iowa. They seem to think that they've come up with the 100% totals, and now the Democratic Party is demanding a recount. And I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll talk about that in New Hampshire and where these latest polls are going. And I'm looking more and more at landslide territory here for Donald Trump, I think. I do. I don't. And Michael Bloomberg's got a new ad out. I want you to hear it this morning. It is eye-opening as to who he's suggesting is now endorsing him. I think you'll be surprised. We'll get to all of that and more coming up. Remember that story we had back before Christmas about be careful which smart TV you buy because somebody's probably listening to you?
Yep.
The question is, why do we allow that? I mean, you clearly buy a product, you welcome it into your home, but so much of what we do is eavesdropped on these days, your private information. Why isn't more being done about that? I invited Ed Peters to be our guest this morning. Ed is the founder and CEO of Data Discovery Sciences, and they work in data protection and cybersecurity. Mr. Peters, welcome into the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there more the government could be doing to protect us, and what's holding them back?
Well, there's no clearly defined legislation outside of California right now that discusses the whole issue of data privacy and how actually your digital identities and overall things need to be protected. It's really, unfortunately, an area that's been overlooked and is now causing significant issues.
So, beyond the fact that, you know, I have a conversation with my wife about a new dining room table, and an hour later that ad pops up on my Facebook feed. Beyond that, what are the biggest risks that we face today?
Well, the biggest risk, obviously, from any type of invasion of privacy is what do people do with that data? It's not that they just listened to you, because people have been overhearing other people speak forever. But now it's this whole issue of how do these companies commercialize this, take advantage of it, and now and then use that in many ways, not only for them to make money, but also be able to use that for what can be assaults on your personal privacy and even your own financial records of digital health, for instance. Because somebody's collected a lot of data from your watch, one of your new fitness trackers or watches, about your blood pressure, your heartbeat, all this data. Now, that's very valuable to somebody. Now, it's one to you because, you know, you may be using that to track your own fitness. But if somebody gets a hold of that data and sells it to an insurance company or somebody, all of a sudden now you might find yourself being denied a policy or your rate or a rate increase. And all this stuff has these downstream effects that were never really taken into consideration before because there was nothing somebody could do from a single instance, let's say, of overhearing something. Now, what really is the case is the downstream effects of this on you really aren't quantified and aren't easily known. So there's many things that can happen, and all of it starts with, unfortunately now, protecting it right up front. And the technology has overrun what amounts to be our legislation and basically the laws that we've implemented to be able to protect ourselves.
Yeah, all for convenience, though, because honestly, I mean, as a free market guy, if I go buy an Apple iPhone or I go buy a Fitbit, I'm basically giving my permission to that company to track me, right?
Yes, you are. And frankly, that's all within their terms of use agreement and their licensing, which nobody reads.
Because right, it, right.
You know, yeah, it's just, again, not only is it inconvenient, but for the most part, it's not understandable. So now you have this case where people are using your data. And really what that's doing is it's using a representation of you that you've not, that you have authorized through the license, but any person who really had a chance to think about that wouldn't authorize. And so if you don't authorize it, you don't have the convenience, which runs against what they're selling you. So we have this big paradox now that we're going to have to sort our way through, because if we really want this type of convenience in our life, there are a whole range of unintended consequences we're going to have to deal with.
We're talking to Ed Peters. He's a cybersecurity expert and consultant. So bottom line here, what change in the law would either prevent this or demand that these companies make it more clear what rights you're giving up?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't think it's just a simple change, which I wish it was. I think we're going to have to go through an entire round of what really are digital rights. You know, what should we expect to have? How much should be protected and how? What are our responsibilities? What are the manufacturers or the collectors' responsibilities? And then, obviously, there's a whole range of remedies that'll be worked out probably through the court system, you know, when somebody breaches that. Like, for instance, today, if your data gets stolen or gets breached, you know what is your right to be able to have redress against a company that sold that?
Yeah, it's a great question, one we're going to have to get answered, it looks like. Good conversation. Ed Peters, thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. He's with the Data Discovery Sciences. Fascinating concept. Who thought you'd be having a discussion about your digital rights? Somebody's going to start some sort of a protest group called Digital Rights.
Are they?
They are. They're going to be protesting in the streets.
Yep. Absolutely. Don't give ideas like that away.
It's a serious subject, though. I mean, honestly, he's right. At what point have you've because of convenience, you give that away when you buy one of these products that tracks you or your Ring doorbell or, you know, whatever it is, you're giving that stuff away. And most people are just too lazy about it to worry about the consequences.
I think we all just accept it now. And it is definitely something that is a change in the landscape that it does make sense, as much as we don't like government interference in anything, that it needs to be addressed because it's everywhere. It's in this room right now.
Yeah, and it's almost like if you haven't lived in a time when that wasn't the case, you're not as shocked by it. You're desensitized to it. Kids today are desensitized
to it.
No doubt about it. Okay, as you can tell.
That was some weird
I lost a real or fake news quiz this week. Denise is picking the music. So
please
direct
tell me
your
you
complaints
know who this
to
is.
Denise Schaefer at intercom.com. What's that?
Please tell me you know who this is.
Don't know. Who is it?
The Beastie Boys?
Oh, it's been a long time. That's like
since
a long time ago.
The Beastie Boys?
No, since I've even heard of the Beastie Boys. I never listened to them. I was never a fan.
My Beastie Boy days were years ago.
I was never a fan. Hey, the Stones are coming. That's a big
they
deal.
They are. That is awesome.
We've got to get into that show.
I couldn't agree. We're going to break
yeah,
in
I
like,
agree. Let's
like
do
Ackerman?
It.
Like are we going to break in like Ackerman? Because he broke
into
the show.
Hopefully we don't
have
to.
No.
But we'll do what we need to do.
Here's hope for all of you, right? Because one of the, you would talk about the, like the half-life of plutonium. Let's talk about Keith Richards for a minute. One of these days, we're all going to be dead, and Keith Richards is still going to be walking around.
That
Can
is,
I just tell you that?
That is so true.
This is a true fact.
Yeah.
Keith Richards has quit smoking.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
He's
76 years old, and he said that it was harder to quit smoking than to quit heroin. So
that.
Just so you know.
Wow.
Keith's done a few things, right? He's like that insurance commercial. You know, he's knows a few things because he's seen a few things. And I'm paraphrasing.
Which insurance commercial? It's the most obscure reference.
Anyway.
He's like, Keith, I don't know, but I just remember hearing that.
I do. I remember. Why can't I not think of the? Oh, I know. It's you know the commercial I'm talking about where he says, we know a few things because we've seen a few things. What's the name of the commercial? When he's walking, like the car's on fire and there's the moose with the chains from the swing set hanging
Farmers.
Around his horns. Farmers insurance.
Yes,
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
Farmers.
Couldn't think of it.
Bum,
I don't use them, but I'm familiar. Yeah, thank you. You know what I'm talking about. So Keith Richards has quit smoking. He's been cigarette free since October, and he said it's the hardest thing that he's ever done.
Right on,
but he
dude.
Pulled the plug. He still enjoys a glass of wine or beer, but he's not interested in today's drugs. He said they're very institutionalized and bland.
Millennial drugs are boring.
That is that's
they're not
very
gonna,
funny.
They're not going to have to embalm that dude. I'm just telling you. They won't even have to worry about it.
They're bland.
That but they are coming in what do we say?
Still
June
pack the punch like they used to.
June 27th? Is that the date
yes,
that's sticking in my brain?
I believe so.
That's awesome.
It's very awesome.
I had a friend from Lexington, Kentucky, who listens to the show. We went to college together. He listens to us on the radio.com app, which
very
is
cool.
A great promo for you there.
Thank you.
And he texted me yesterday and said, dude, if you've got a line on some Stones tickets, I'll drive up there just to see them because apparently they're not coming close to Lexington.
If you've got a line on some Stones tickets, we need to seriously
talk.
Yeah.
We should talk. Don't be giving them to your buddy in Kentucky when
that's right. We're
you could
right
be helping
here and we
me
see you
out.
Every
your
day.
Buddy's right here we need to take care of.
I have no line on tickets to the Stones, but for goodness sake, it's at the Edward Jones Dome. So
that's a lot of people.
It holds how many thousand? I mean, it shouldn't be trouble getting
at least
a seat.
A million.
I wouldn't think. You may
I
not
bet
be able
they
to
sell out.
You may not be able to afford a floor seat, but you shouldn't have trouble getting a seat somewhere.
I bet they sell
oh,
out.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah.
It may
yeah,
be in the nosebleed section.
And I bet those nosebleeds are expensive still.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I'm just worried about getting into the Sammy Hagar concert. That is my sole focus right
Doesn't
now.
Doesn't he come here like 3 or 4 times a year?
No, he comes here once a year. But this year he's coming with Whitesnake. It's going to be an awesome concert. You see, here's what you need to understand. I have to keep explaining myself here. I had to explain this to my wife the other day. Didn't you just see him last year? I'm like, I did, honey, but here's the deal. In case you haven't picked up on it from the bump music around here, my favorite band of all time is Van Halen. Love them. Love all their music. Love all versions of their music. When I get to see Sammy Hagar, I get to see one half of Van Halen.
They call that Van Hagar, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I do, but I get to see one half because Michael Anthony is his bass player. So they play a lot of the Van Halen songs from their era of the band. And that's just the equivalent to me of going to a Van Halen concert. That's why I go every year. If he's in town, I'm going. So
hey, I get it. If Bruce is in town, I'm going.
That's just how I,
he
that's
doesn't
how I feel.
He comes to town about every 5 years, but.
But you're there.
But I'm there.
Yeah. Of course. So anyway, that's my thing. I mean, I'd like to see the Stones just because somebody said the other day that there's a reckoning coming for all of us who enjoy music from the 70s and 80s because within the next 10 years, a whole bunch of these people are going to be dead. We've seen a few of them start to drop off, but in the next 10 years, it's going to be a bloodbath, so to speak. People who are then in their 80s who just suddenly they won't be able to tour anymore, but they're going to be dead. So you got to see them while you can. That's kind of my approach.
No, you really do. I did that with Tom Petty. I snagged tickets at the last minute, and I had already seen him 3 times, so I didn't care to go. But it was the last time he was here, and he was gone within, a few months of the last time he was here.
Mm-hmm.
I was, thank you, Jesus, for that gift.
Yeah, what a loss. Mm-hmm. I got to see Frank Sinatra. Have I told you that story?
Oh, my goodness.
Right before he died, I got to see Frank Sinatra, and it was fantastic. He had Charo warmed up for him, and it was...
That's an interesting
choice. I know.
Charo,
she warmed up for him.
Yes.
And it was fantastic. It really... I mean, he was to the point in his career where he had to have a teleprompter because he would forget the words to the songs. This was in the late 80s, I guess 88 maybe, 87, 88, somewhere in there. But he could still hit the notes if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to hit all of them, but he could hit the notes if he wanted to. But it was still
picking
awesome.
And choosing.
It was just awesome
that's an amazing thing to have.
Absolutely. It was nice.
Very
it was nice. To, it was nice to say that you've seen those people. I saw the Rolling Stones once. I was so far back in the arena. It was in Indianapolis. That Mick's voice did not match up with his lips on the Jumbotron. That's how far away I was from the stage. So I'd love to see them again here because we do have a good venue here at the Dome to see concerts. I have to do that. Got to start working on that. I'll let you know if I come up with a line on those tickets.
Thank you.
Don't you worry. All right.
Meet the Bushes.
I'm Billy Bush, and this is my wife, Christy.
I can introduce myself.
Okay.
This brood is American beer royalty.
Our business is beer. I think I want to do a little research for the company.
And with their 7-pack of kids.
And a family this big, things can get crazy.
This fam is wild. This fam is loaded.
Mom dancing on the bar is just another day.
This fam's for you.
You just give me a beer, please.
The Bush Family Brood premieres Thursday, March 5th on MTV.
We drank beer. My friends and I, the boys and girls, yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
You better like. I never liked Kraft Dig, I'll have to say. So I'm guessing that show's not for me.
I guess you weren't the only one.
I think I'm not the target audience. Yeah, no kidding. The Bush Family Brood coming to a TV near you. How about
March 5th.
Yep.
Set the DVR.
Closest thing St. Louis has to royalty, right?
Very excited about this. It looks like Jersey Shore, St. Louis style.
It does.
I'll watch
Keep it classy. Yeah.
At least the first episode.
Mom dancing on the table.
Exactly. The kid.
She's pretty.
That one son's pouring beer all over his bare chest. Cool.
I would rather have my toenails pulled out than have to watch that. Can I just tell you that personally?
Really? I thought it was going to be your thing.
Nope. Not my thing. Let's check in with Jen. Jennifer Kashinka, we got a new TV series for you to watch. St. Louis centered.
Sounds fascinating.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, again, I don't think I'm the target audience, that's for sure. What's going on out there in the markets?
All right. Futures moderately lower this morning as disappointing European economic data and the prospect of weakening momentum in the U.S. subdues optimism about global growth. Investors will parse the strength of the job market in about 50 minutes or so. With the release of the January numbers, the U.S. is expected to have added about 161,000 jobs last month. IHS Market predicts the new coronavirus outbreak will be worse for the global economy than the 2003 SARS epidemic was. Since 2003, China has grown from the world's sixth largest economy to the second biggest today behind the U.S. The country has been a main growth driver worldwide, with China alone accounting for 39% of global economic expansion in 2019. Therefore, IHS says any slowdown in the Chinese economy will send not ripples but waves across the globe. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says U.S. officials have reduced their expectations for economic growth in 2020 because of disruptions caused by the grounding grounding of Boeing 737 MAX. In an interview with Fox last night, Mnuchin said gross domestic product growth may be lower than 3% this year. He also said officials are closely monitoring the fast-spreading coronavirus. Boeing suppliers are shedding jobs and capacity to cope with a halt in 737 MAX output. But while that staves off chaos, aerospace executives worry the industry might be unable to ramp factories quickly enough when the plane wins approval to fly again. Reuters notes that industrial heavyweights like fuselage maker Spirit AeroSystems have already laid off workers. And now a cluster of other crucial companies, small and big, that forge metal, assemble, and paint 737 MAX winglets and build data systems have followed suit with no indication that Boeing will offer a lifeline. As the housing market returned to normal after a frenzied couple of years marked by intense bidding wars in many markets, the smallest share of homes sold for above their list price last year than in any year since 2016. The share of homes that sold for more than their list price in 2019 nationwide fell to 19.9%. In St. Louis, 20.2% of homes sold for above list price, the average price above $5,000. Google is giving its popular Maps app a redesign and new features. The changes put greater emphasis on discovery and recommendations with three new tabs on the bottom of the screen: Saved, Contribute, and Updates. Saved includes bookmarks of places you've visited or want to go. Contribute is Google's version of Yelp, while the Updates tab features information from publishers and local experts to show you a feed of trending must-see spots. Ordering food from home is the latest laziest fad, but it's also costing you lots of money, like 20% more per delivery. Delivery cost, services, and fees all add up on apps like Uber Eats, Postmates, and DoorDash. If you were to order one medium Big Mac meal from Postmates once a week, fees could add up to $1,000 a year. And for Shamrock Shake fans, February 19th is your lucky day. Not only will McDonald's popular mint-flavored shake return to restaurants nationwide for the first time in 3 years, it will be joined by the new Oreo Shamrock McFlurry. The Shamrock Shake is made with vanilla soft serve ice cream syrup and whipped topping. Mark?
Not a fan, but I did see Trisha licking her lips over there.
Just the plain mint one doesn't do anything for me, but you add the Oreo to the mint, and then I'm in. There you go.
Like, don't like mint juleps, just don't like the mint thing in my liquor.
Then you won't be circling February 19th.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Jen.
Have a good weekend.
You bet. Yep,
you too. Thank you.
On the Uber, like, I've used Uber Eats before, I think it is. I think I ordered us food delivered down here one day when we were all starving.
Yeah, and then I didn't realize until afterwards what the markup is on.
Oh boy,
yeah, it'll get you.
That's why I've never done it.
Oh, I do it every Sunday.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like I can see one thing, ordering takeout from home, like pizza delivery or Chinese food, where you call the restaurant and they deliver it, and you know you're going to tip the driver, or maybe sometimes they put a couple dollar delivery fee on there. But I don't know. I guess I'm not app friendly enough to rely on that all the time. $1,000 a year extra.
I have to budget it. I have to budget in like monthly for food delivery.
Yeah.
Because I can't help it. Sundays I'm lazy and they'll bring you anything.
Can you get liquor delivered?
Yeah, for a fee?
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
You can get liquor, you can get groceries, you can get whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pizza, Chinese food. They'll deliver me Mexican food. They'll deliver me whatever I want.
I'm guessing that's a really big business, like around a college campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the responsibility is on it? They've got to have liability insurance out the rear end, wouldn't you think?
Well, and they do it all hours of the night, because my cousin was in town out at a bar late. It was like 1 a.m. Somebody brought her Jack in the Box.
You're just sitting at the bar, like, I'm hungry. You're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then Jack in the Box will, wow.
And then they just bring you the tacos.
And it's at that time of the night.
I guess I just must be too cheap. My cheap wins out over my lazy.
I wish I could say the same.
It's that time of the night, though, when your judgment might be a little questionable, mm-hmm. that you're more willing to not care about those things,
yeah,
right?
True. Or the next day, if your judgment was in question, the night before, when you can't get off your couch.
Or you wake up and you say, I know I had more money than that when I went out last night. What happened to it? Yeah.
Oh, that's why you don't check the bank account the next day. Wait till the following day after your head's clear and you can better process what happened.
Wait a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Wait a couple of days. Hey, I want to play something for you that somebody sent to me this morning. I had not seen this, but apparently this ad is circulating now. It's a Michael Bloomberg ad where he's basically hinting at an endorsement. And I think that if he didn't have the endorsement, there would have been more pushback from the person involved. But it's really bad news for somebody else who's in this race right now. Play cut number 41, please.
He's been a leader throughout the country for the past 12 years. Mr. Michael Bloomberg is here.
Leadership in action. Mayor Bloomberg and President Obama worked together in the fight for gun safety laws, to improve education, and to develop innovative ways to help teens gain the skills needed to find good jobs.
At a time when Washington is divided in old ideological battles, he shows us what can be achieved when we bring people together to seek pragmatic solutions.
I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I approve this message.
Because they're asshats, that's why.
Yeah, I'll bet you did, Mike. I'll bet you did. You got to think, and I know he was showing old clips of Obama praising his gun control efforts, but there's an inference there that Obama is supporting Mike Bloomberg. No doubt about it.
I saw that ad last night. That's the first thing I thought. I was like, ooh, that ad cannot make Biden happy. And
no.
Has Obama actually put his support behind Bloomberg? Because I didn't know, but that ad took me by surprise last night.
I thought he was supporting Deval Patrick, who announced he was running for president and then pulled off the biggest disappearing act in the history of American politics. Have you heard or seen of Deval Patrick since his announcement?
They call that ghosting.
Nothing.
We've been ghosting.
Nothing. And I thought he was Obama's guy, but clearly the Obama people would have issued a statement that said, we haven't endorsed anybody if they weren't okay with that ad.
Yeah. But they haven't issued a statement at all either way, right? They haven't said
they haven't.
Coming out. I think out of respect, you wait till that statement comes out before you run an ad like that.
I would think that that's the clearest indication yet of the panic in the Democratic Party. That's the best indication yet. Obama hasn't said anything because he thinks that he doesn't want to hurt Bloomberg's efforts, because at this point, they're kind of desperate. You look at Iowa, Joe Biden is going to run out of steam here at some point. He's going to run out of money first. That's what he's going to run out of.
I don't believe it, but there are still people that think that Michelle Obama might get in the race in some capacity, which would affect an Obama endorsement.
But you know who's still going to get in the race, don't you?
No, I'm not over it.
She said it yesterday. I'm going to play it for you when we come back. I think she was on the Ellen DeGeneres show when she floated this. We'll see. I'll let you hear it. You be the decider when we come back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com. The man with 2020 vision, Mark Cox.
And so I'll tell you, I started thinking about, and I thought if I'd won and I'd wanted to ask him to do something, I would have wanted him to do that for me. So I never say never, because I do believe in serving my country, but it's not going to happen.
So you will.
But it's not going to happen.
Was that your
Why would you want to put that dead weight around your neck if you were one of the people running for the Democratic nomination this year? Unless you were so desperate that you somehow felt you weren't going to get, like, so I could see a Joe Biden or a Mayor Pete saying, I've got to put somebody second on my ticket who people take, you know, as someone who could handle the presidency in the event that something happened, plus draw in a portion of the electorate that I might not otherwise be able to get. So as you look at these polls, you see that Sanders and Buttigieg and Warren now control the progressive vote. It's split between those three people. Warren and Sanders clearly get more of it. If neither of those two are the candidate, you have the same problem you had last time. Do those progressive voters turn out for a Joe Biden candidacy? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But if those people saw Hillary on the other side of that ticket, or somebody like that, and that may be the pressure on somebody like Biden to try to pick a Warren or someone as his vice president, he's got to secure those liberal, progressive, whacked out voters who won't be happy that Biden's the nominee, but may be willing to look and see that ultimately their biggest goal is defeating Donald Trump. And if that's what they've got to the bitter pill they've got to swallow to do it, maybe they consider it. I don't know.
We shall see.
I loved we had a bite on here from the Biden campaign yesterday. Go to cut 26, please.
Well, I think that we didn't do as well as we wanted to do. I think that some of it was the fact that we have a strong base of African-American support. And Iowa is 3.5% African-American. And so because of the demographics, I think the deck was stacked against us.
So Joe Biden has a white problem. Is that what that guy's suggesting? Like, wait till we get down south. Really? I mean, that's what he just said. We have a strong support among African-American voters, and there's only 3.5% of them in Iowa, so they weren't there to support us. But you wait till we get into the south, and that's when Joe's going to go wild.
Maybe on a few levels.
We shall see.
He'll be dancing on tabletops somewhere down there.
Just like that mom in the Bush family.
I know. I know, right? That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. Hey, coming up, we got to Annie Fry is going to join us here at about 7:10. And I tell you what, some of the stuff that's going on over in the state, great state of Illinois, we'll get into that with her a little bit. And I can't wait to get her thoughts on this disaster that is Iowa for the Democrats. I don't know how they escape this. I mean, it's like the guy that's trying to win a sprint race who stumbles out of the block. How do you catch up if you got Michael Johnson in the other lane? How do you catch up? You don't. That's kind of how this race is going.
I kind of love how one won the popular vote and the other one kind of won, in quotation marks, the electoral college between Buttigieg and Sanders.
That's a good point.
That's really kind of how it looks, because as soon as they're like, oh, well, he won, you know, he has more popular vote, but... And the percentage is like, what, is it 0.1% or something like that, that Buttigieg won by, but Bernie technically won more popular? I'm like, this is ironic.
They got their own little debate going on here, don't
so
they?
So it is.
Very ironic.
Yeah, Sanders is already trying to play that up.
Because both of them are saying they won.
Yeah, whoever wins the popular vote should win overall. That's what he thinks. He wants to ditch the Electoral College. Pay attention, folks. Pay attention. We're going to help you do it. Stick around for that. J.J. Carafano coming up this morning about 8:10. As well. Can't wait to get him on here again. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you. We're going to be back with more right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.